You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, earlier today I also spoke to Professor Jonathan Waters from the University of Otago, and he has discovered a unique way of measuring historic coastal earthquakes by comparing the genetic properties of kelp. His findings show that Dunedin may have been hit by a high magnitude earthquake around 1,000 years ago. This research may have international implications for detecting previously unknown locations that are prone to earthquakes. He began by talking about how the Kaikoura earthquakes were what gave him the inspiration for this method of research.
Everyone saw Kaikoura and how the shore was uplifted there, and all of these kelps and shellfish were sitting there on the rocks drying and dying in the sun. And it was such a startling event for us to look at. It made us wonder, well, this must have happened in the past, right? There must be examples of this sort of thing elsewhere. So to cut a long story short, we looked around elsewhere in New Zealand, and talking to the geologist, there's a big fault just south of Dunedin where there was a big quake around 1,000 years, but some of the details of that were not worked out.
And is there a history of seismic activity in the area?
The geologists have been looking at what's happened south of Dunedin. Just about 30 kilometres down the road from Dunedin, heading south, there's a major stretch of coast that seems to have been uplifted, and you can see sort of evidence of that on the landscape. And so the geologists have been looking at what happened there at this fault called the Akatore Fault. But we were wondering if that uplift in that region had had effect on the biology around the shore like it had up in Kaikoura. So we set out to look at a species of kelp there and looked at its DNA, and we were really amazed to find a really strong signature of change that apparently has come from this earthquake about 1,000 years ago.
And what is this difference between a gradual uplift versus a sudden uplift movement caused by an earthquake?
Well, what we found looking around Kaikoura, for instance, is that there are some bits of the shore there where things had only come up a little bit, but there were other places where it had come up a long way, and it was the places where it had come up several metres that had really wiped everything out in the shore there. And so we had sort of an idea of what we might look for and expect to see if there'd been a really big earthquake where it had come up a long way, and we're talking about an event 1,000 years ago. So if it comes up in small steps, it might affect the biology a bit, but if it came up in one big step, bang, that would be a bit like what we've seen in the heavily uplifted parts of Kaikoura. So what we found when we looked at the coast down this way, south of Dunedin, was that there was this complete, what we call an anomaly, a genetic difference between the kelp populations all along that uplifted shore compared to the populations to the north and south. And genetically, it really stuck out like a sore thumb, and it could only really be explained by there having been this huge wipeout event, and then it got recolonized from somewhere else. So the way you can think of it is a bit like a population of humans gets wiped out, but then it gets replaced from somewhere else altogether. It's a bit like finding French people in Akaroa on Banks Peninsula or something like that. It just doesn't fit with the neighbours. So that's the sort of thing that we're seeing down the coast here.
What are the implications of these findings?
Well, the implications is that it really suggests that there was one really major event on this fault here about 1,000 years ago, rather than there being a number of small events. So, for instance, we know in Dunedin there was an earthquake in 1974. It was medium-sized. It was magnitude a bit less than 5. And so we know these small events can happen around here, but we weren't so sure whether there'd be one really big event like this. And what we found is that, yes, there was a high magnitude event down the coast here, something approaching the level of Kaikoura, but really close to Dunedin, which is a little bit scary.
Do you have any estimates as to how large this earthquake might have been?
I'm not a geologist, but based on the amount of uplift, I'd say it was a similar sort of event in the way it changed the coast. I think the geologists say, oh, it might be a 7 or a 7.5 or something like that. So it's something pretty substantial, something that really would have an effect on Dunedin. Back when this happened, there were no people in New Zealand yet, so there was no one around to report it. But if this happened tomorrow, we'd certainly know about it.
Touching on that, how would this help in planning or disaster mitigation in New Zealand?
Well, I think we focus a lot on the big one on the Alpine Fault. That seems to occur every few hundred years, and we've got a lot of awareness about that. But I think, as we learnt with Christchurch, sometimes it's a lesser known fault that's closer to a city which actually might end up causing more damage. And now we know that we've got a big quake in the past on a fault just near Dunedin, and it's the sort of thing that really tells us we really need to be prepared for a big one at any time, and not just that big one that everyone's focusing on, but something on a fault closer to Dunedin or another New Zealand city.
And could this research help us identify cities that were previously unknown to be at risk of earthquakes?
Oh, definitely. So there's really a possibility to use this sort of tool, and not just in New Zealand either. So to use biology as a way of looking at geological change in the past, because there are some places where the record geologically is not so strong or clear, but to use this tool where we can use DNA of modern populations to look for these sort of anomalies, it can really give us a clue into the past. So yeah, we want to extend this more widely.
And what were those advances in genetic science that made this type of experiment possible?
It's just so much easier now in terms of generating the data. The tools we have, we can generate a lot more data a lot more quickly. So we can generate that, and we also have stronger tools and computational approaches to analyse the data. So it's all just getting better and quicker. That's probably the easiest way to look at it. So we can look across the whole genome of these populations, and we can really get a strong signature and try and put a good time frame on when the change happened as well.
And you were mentioning that this research could be helpful elsewhere, overseas. What are some examples of other places in the world that might be able to use this research?
Well, for instance, we've got lots of quakes happening in places like Chile, where there's been a number of quakes over the last 10 years, but huge ones going back into around the 1960s, for instance. But geologically, they're not all that well defined, and this would really help us to look at those. Other geologically active places like Japan would be another example. And there are even places around the Mediterranean where there were quakes maybe in ancient Roman times or something like that, or the Pompeii sort of things, where they've used the biology and the geology to try and look at whether things went up or down and that sort of thing. Well, this DNA stuff, this new approach can bring a whole new element to that sort of research, so maybe new ways of looking into them.
So has this DNA approach been used before in the past elsewhere, or are you guys the first?
I think we're the first people to look at it in this sort of way in terms of coastal biology and earthquakes. I think when we use DNA, we can look into the distant past and say, hey, there was a huge ice age and it wiped out everything over here. So people have looked at that sort of effect, but not this really local effect of an earthquake over a few tens of kilometres. So that's, for us, it's a really new approach, and it hasn't really been applied anywhere else before.
And what's next for you with this research?
Well, we know of other earthquakes around the New Zealand region, and one really interesting one is the Wairarapa quake in 1855. So we know around the Wellington region we've got all of these uplifted shores, and the roads are on them, and the airports there as well. And these were all uplifted in the same sort of way by quakes, and the effects of those ones are really interesting. And it happened more than a century ago, so we'd like to look at what were the effects of that. And it's a really good model because we know the quake happened, but can we detect the same sort of thing? So the more we study this sort of process, the more we can understand about it.
The findings of that study can be found in the academic journal Earth and Planetary Science Letters.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.